Praise God. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. That means you have a choice. Amazing, isn't it? You have a choice. The power to choose life or death. The power to choose blessings or curse. What a power that's been given to us, and how many times do we not use it? Psalm 103. Praise God. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, all my soul. And your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits. Benefits. You know, benefits are given to someone that is associated with covenant. In other words, if you're not in covenant with God, you don't receive benefits. Now, there are spiritual laws that even people who are not in covenant with God receive blessings because they're using the spiritual laws, like sowing and reaping. Amen. So anybody can be blessed by spiritual law. Amen. But it doesn't mean that it's from God in a certain arena. Because the devil will bless you too, honey. Oh, he loves to bless you. Then you think you're doing good. Oh, the Lord, you know, I'm being blessed, so I must be doing something right. Well, that's a lie from hell. Because if you're not in divine order, that blessing ain't from God. It's from the devil that's keeping you out of order. Amen? But in this, he says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless your holy name. And we do that praise and worship. So I want to share something else with you. Even if you're praising and worshiping and you're out of line and out of divine order, you can still receive a blessing from the devil. And you'll think, oh, God loves me. That must be okay for me to fornicate. It must be okay for me to lie, to cheat, to deceive. It must be okay because I'm blessed. No. No. That's a lie. It will be temporary. Eventually the rug will be pulled from underneath. And the fall will be great. See, because the word says, submit to God, then resist the devil. So if you can't truly submit to God, it's impossible to submit to the devil, even though things seem to be going wonderful. That's just Satan's greatest weapon is deception. Amen? And his power is fear. So we're just going to bless the Lord with all of our soul and all that is within us and get in divine order. So that his benefits that are coming to me and you are from him and not from another source. See, he's the only source. Everything else is a resource. He says he forgives all of your iniquities. Now, I want to share something with you. He forgives you when you turn away. He doesn't forgive you if you hold on. I'm going to say that again. He forgives you when you turn away. He doesn't forgive you when you hold on. So you can repent till your tongue falls out. That's why he says forgive and then you'll be forgiven. Amen. So he forgives all of our iniquities, our sins, our transgressions when we turn away. And not till then. Who heals all of your diseases. So the first thing we got to do is turn away. Then healing comes. And healing is just not physical. Sometimes it's mental. It's spiritual. Amen. Who heals all your diseases. You know that word dis-ease means dis-ease. In other words, you're not at ease. You're torment. Who redeems your life from what? Destruction. He redeems your life from destruction. Again, this all starts out with praise and worship so that you can get in God's presence. Conviction can come and you say, I'm turning. He forgives you after you turn, not before you turn. Then he blesses you and he heals you, he rescues you, redeems you, and then he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. That means you're refreshed, revived. You're ready to roar. You're ready to jump around and kiss God. Again, benefits from the Lord come to covenant children. And there's something special about a covenant child. If you'll turn to Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Would you speak it with me? And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the what? Say that again. The firstborn. The firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. In other words, he was the firstborn from the dead. So in this, that means a firstborn inherits all things. He inherits all things. So he was the firstborn from the dead who inherited everything. In fact, you and I are part of his inheritance. You may think what a terrible inheritance that is, but you might think he got ripped off. Sorry, Lord, I think you got ripped off by inheriting me. You know? But he doesn't look that way. He doesn't look that way. So in this inheritance, because he's the firstborn from the dead, and he inherited me and you, what he did is he allowed me and you to become priests and kings. Now that means servants to the throne of God. Amen? Servants. One, remember, the firstborn is one who inherits all, and we are his first fruits of it, the inheritance. So as for me and you, because we're one, we get it all too. Is everybody got it? Is everybody okay? But what we were called to do is to serve the Lord as kings and priests. There is a firstborn blessing that I want to talk about. In case you might wonder what the name of the teaching is, it's called Firstborn Blessing. Exodus 19 and verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me what? A kingdom of what? Priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So understand that Israel was called to serve the Lord. The whole nation was called to be servants to the Lord. Amen? And he said, if you will keep my covenant, in other words, if you keep my covenant, these blessings will be upon you. And he said, listen, keep my covenant because I have called you to be holy and you are to be servants to the Lord. Now go to Exodus 4 in verse 19. Now Moses fled from Egypt when he was after he murdered. And when he fled from Egypt, he went into the wilderness and he went to go. And the Lord said to Moses in verse 19 in Midian, go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are what? Dead. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you will say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is what? My son, my what? firstborn. So this firstborn blessing, he called Israel my son and the firstborn. In other words, the nation of Israel was considered the firstborn to the Lord to receive the full inheritance. Amen? Exodus 12. Now as the Lord was getting to remove them from Egypt, in verse 23 it says, "For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you will keep the service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you will say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.' So the people bowed their heads in worship. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the what? Firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock." Why did he strike the firstborn? So they could not receive the full inheritance. Does everybody got it? Is everybody with me? So the Lord struck the firstborn of Egypt so that they could not receive all or the fullness of their inheritance. Go to Exodus 32. In verse 1, it says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" So again, this is where they put together the golden calf and began to worship the golden calf. And in verse 25, it says, "Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, 'Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him." Now I want you to grab hold of something, because Israel, when they worshiped the calf, they broke covenant with God. Does everybody understand this? Now the Lord was about to kill everybody because of the worship of the golden calf instead of him. Because Moses was up with the Lord, he was bringing down the Ten Commandments. And as he was coming down, he saw that they were worshiping the calf. He got upset. He says, "Okay, this is what the Lord is telling me to do. Who's ever on my side, come on my side." And it says that the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Now, one of the things that happened is because they broke covenant, the Lord went out and killed all the firstborn of his own people. The only ones that did not get killed were the tribe of Levi, or the sons of Levi. And what did they do? They served where? In the sanctuary. Does everybody got it? So that's why the Lord says, "This is my inheritance." So they received the fullness of inheritance. Does everybody got it? So the sons of Levi were maintained as the firstborn to receive the fullness of the inheritance. And that was being in the presence of God and serving in the tabernacle of God. Because the other ones serve the golden image of the golden calf. Is everybody okay? Praise God. So that's why the Levites, so you see how now, why that tribe was chosen to serve in the tabernacle of the Lord. Because they were the ones that did not worship. They left. They came out of the worship of the calf and went and obeyed Moses and went and killed everyone else. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Now go to Genesis 25. The firstborn blessing. In verse 21, it says, "Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' So she went to inquire the Lord, and the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger.'" Well, wait a minute. The older is supposed to be the one to receives the full inheritance. "So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there was twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. After his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 62 years old when he bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was very weary." Now remember, Esau was the firstborn to receive the full inheritance. "And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please, feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.'" See, Jacob understood the importance of the firstborn inheritance. "And Esau said, 'Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?' So Esau counted it as nothing. What is this to me?" You know, you got to think about it. How many believers count this birthright as nothing? And they don't even realize it. They're willing to sell it for drugs. They're willing to sell it for lies. They're willing to sell it for everything else. They're selling their birthright on a daily basis. And then they're losing their inheritance. "Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as this day.' So he swore to him and sold him his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Very powerful. So in the end, when Isaac was blessing them, only Esau received partial birthright. And Jacob received the full birthright, or the full blessing of being the firstborn. Is everybody okay? Same thing with Ishmael. Although Ishmael wasn't, you might call him the firstborn, but he really wasn't the firstborn because he never came from the womb of Sarah. Amen? But Isaac did. So he received the full blessing. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. We are really going somewhere tonight. That's why it's important to bless your children. Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Would you read it with me? "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the what? First fruits of those who have what? Fallen asleep, those who have died." He's become the first fruits. Now remember, we just said that he became the firstborn. Amen. Now he's become the first fruits. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father to the God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is what? Death. The last enemy is what? Death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who has put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by boasting in you, I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die what? Daily. I die what? Daily. So we see here Christ becomes the first fruits and the firstborn. And there's something that happens here because it's very powerful. Go to James chapter 1 and verse 16. James chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of what? Lights. Lights. How many of y'all know you're the light? Amen. With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of what? First fruits of his creatures. In other words, he says might be because it takes divine order. It takes maintaining covenant, doesn't it? To maintain a first fruit, which is associated with firstborn. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Amen. Blessed by who? The Lord. Amen. So we see here that we might be a kind of first fruits if we are doers. That means that we must maintain covenant. And it's associated with the firstborn blessing. Romans 11, verse 16. Let's speak it. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do not boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Now he's talking about the grafting of the firstborn. In other words, Israel and Gentile. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, in other words, Israel, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but toward you, goodness. If you what? Continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be what? You will also be cut off. And they also, if they did not continue in unbelief, would be grafted in. For God also is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. And so all Israel will be saved, and it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So we see here that we have been blessed by being grafted in through Jesus Christ, now considered not only firstborn blessing, but first fruits. Amen? So that you and I can receive the fullness of inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing. How can he do that without grafting us? Amen? So he's considering me and you now a firstborn, even though we are known as first fruits. If we are in covenant, aren't we? Amen? With every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, when you see the scripture now, it becomes more understanding and the price that he paid for me and you. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, full inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. So in this again, we see that the blessing of the firstborn, or the blessing of the first fruits, because we've been grafted in now, we are considered the firstborn. Amen? So we have the fullness of the blessing of the inheritance to me and you if we are maintaining covenant. Luke 15. Luke 15 and verse 11. Then he, Jesus, said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Do you see that he acknowledged heaven first? And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. The best robe, in other words, he's returning the anointing. And put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, in other words, I'm restoring covenant. And sandals on his feet, in other words, he's giving him dominion to leave a legacy. Do you want me to repeat that? The robe is known as a representation of the mantle, restoring the anointing. The ring restores covenant, which brings what? Inheritance. Amen? And the sandals restore authority that he may leave a legacy and then pass on the inheritance. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So he was the younger son, wasn't he? But because he was restored, he was acknowledged just like the firstborn, wasn't he? So everybody got it. See, when you and I were lost, we were restored the same way, given the robe, the ring, and sandals. The robe, the ring, and sandals. Restored to full inheritance. For we were lost, but now we are found. Amen? And all blessings, all inheritance, the fullness of inheritance is available for me and you. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the what? The salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the what? Light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we see here his firstborn now, or his first fruits. We are considered light. We are light. Now go to Isaiah 14. How many of y'all know that the Bible says the devil comes as an angel of what? Light. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 9. Hell from beneath is excited about you. To meet you at your coming, it stirs up the dead for you. All the chief ones of the earth, it is raised up from their thrones. All kings of the nations, they all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to hell, and the sound of your string instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, son of the morning here means light bearer. Lucifer was known as a light bearer. That's why the Bible says that he comes as an angel of light. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations and all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house, but you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse rotten underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of his fathers. Let them rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. So he's talking about Lucifer, right? And in this he calls him a light bearer or morning star. Is everybody okay? Son of the morning. In the Old Testament, sons of God were known as angels. But he calls him the son of the morning. Now, he's a light bearer, a morning star. And in the word morning star, it means prince angel. Is everybody with me? It means prince angel. Now, I want you to go to Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. The Lord speaks to Ezekiel. And again, this is not the king of the natural realm. He's talking about Lucifer here in verse 12. He says, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you are a seal of what? Perfection. Well, there wasn't anybody a seal of perfection except for the Lord. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, braille, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You are the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. In other words, in this, Lucifer was there when God created things. Does everybody got it? He was known as the morning star because he was the first angel created. He was the firstborn of the angels. He was to receive the full inheritance. Is everybody with me? He was the firstborn of the angels to receive the full inheritance. God allowed him to see everything. He was the anointed cherub who covers. He said, verse 15, you are perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was what? Found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within. You sinned, and therefore I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub. In other words, he covered the universe with praise and worship. From the midst of the fiery stones, your heart was lifted up because of your what? Beauty. That word beauty means light. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor or your brightness. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Now, we know some of this is in the future, isn't it? So Lucifer was the light, was the firstborn of the angels. In other words, he doesn't want anyone to replace himself. So he's after you, because you are now firstborn and light. Does everybody got it? See, he's not concerned what you do. He hates you because you have replaced him. You are now firstborn with full inheritance. And you are not a light of the world. Just what he was called. He was called the morning star, the light bearer. Has everybody got this? So let me tell you, he doesn't like you. Go to Genesis 1. He don't like you, man. In fact, he hates you. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God did what? Created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In other words, we know God doesn't create something imperfect, so the earth was created perfect, and because Lucifer was the praise and worship leader, and the mountain of God was known as the earth of and the universe, and Lucifer blew it, and the Lord sentenced him into the earth and its atmosphere, and the Lord shut down everything. Because remember, Lucifer was known as the morning star. Amen? He was a light bearer. So there was no more light there. Is everybody okay? So what happened? And the Lord, in verse 3, then the Lord said, let there be what? Light. Now, who is he talking about? Jesus. See, Jesus is known as the true light, isn't he? So he had to come to replace Lucifer because Lucifer fell. Does everybody understand this? So remember, Lucifer was the light. That's why the Bible says, and he comes as an angel of light. He was known as the light there, the morning star, the light bearer. And so when Lucifer fell and was removed, Jesus came as light to restore everything. Is everybody with me? He came to restore everything. So it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Look at verse 16. It says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to what? Rule the night. He made the stars also. So you got to look at this physically and spiritually. So Jesus was the light because Lucifer fell, and we are now the first fruits or the firstborn of the light of Jesus Christ with the full inheritance. Go to John chapter 1. So let me tell you, Lucifer is after you. He is known as Satan now. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. In verse 1, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, or firstborn, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of what? But of what? God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And all his what? All his what? All his what? Fullness, who has? We have all received, and grace for grace. Why have we received it all? Because we're considered firstborn now. Has everybody got it? And so we are the light of the world. So we carry the fullness. But see, one of the things is the enemy attacks you in the mind. He brings fear so that we're afraid of losing things. Afraid of certain things. Fear. So what it does is it causes us to sway from covenant with God. It causes us to sway from divine order. And then he accesses us. And he begins to deceive us. And we wonder why things are happening in our life and the fullness of our inheritance isn't being manifested. And it's because of out of divine order. We have received the fullness. It is available for each and every one. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. It doesn't matter what you think. It's done. If he says it's done, it's done. But it's given according to your faith. 1 Peter chapter 5:5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Wow. Submit yourself to your elders. That submission again. Submit to God, resist the devil, right? Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. See, in grace, which is associated with the plan of God, also comes your inheritance. Fullness of grace. See, it's God's plan to begin to release your inheritance. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Why is he saying cast your care? Because he knows that if you don't cast your care upon him, it's going to sway you away. It's going to move you out of position. And he's trying to get the fullness of your inheritance to you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the what? Woohoo! In the faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, but may the God of all grace, and in this grace, is also your inheritance. Who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you so that you can receive all he has. 1 John chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah, firstborn blessing. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Abides forever. 1 John chapter 5. He who does the will of God. So by you obeying grace, hello, which is the plan of God, you're receiving your inheritance. Staying away from the things of the world which try to deceive us. We're doing the will of God. It means we're going to abide forever. In verse 18, we know that what? Whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. So when you see the word born of God, you can say, man, I'm firstborn. I'm first root. I have a full inheritance. That's why the devil hates me. Because he lost his. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. And the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols or anything that can steal your inheritance. Amen? Everyone say, I'm the firstborn. And I have a fullness of inheritance. I'm going to stay in divine order. Maintain covenant. I thank the Lord for the benefits. But I thank him for my inheritance. And to God be the glory. Everybody said amen.